Okay, so I'm gonna give over to Donovan soon. I'm gonna try and introduce a man that I don't know well yet, but it does feel like there's just kindred art. It does feel like just I met him. I said to Francois actually, we were at the session at this student conference. After one of the sessions, he was hanging around with a few people, and Francois told me, "Why are those people hanging around him? It looks like people like him. They don't even know him." It's probably the beard, eh? No. Joking, I said, you can just, the moment I met him, I felt like, yo, there's a kindred art here. It's a humble man. You could pick it up from the beginning. And I'm not trying to, Will always, one of our old guys used to say, I'm not trying to throw sugar to the birds. So I'm not trying to say that just because I don't mean it. I actually mean it. You could just really pick it up. So I want to ask you today, would you receive him as if he's an elder in Josh Chen? Would you receive him? Because we want to open wide to him, and we want to say our hearts are open to what you bring. He leads a church in Canada in Winnipeg, if I'm not mistaken. I've got it right. and it's wonderful. As I've heard, also quite a young church, a vibrant church, that want to follow the Bible just like us. So I want to hand over to him, and we're really excited to hear what you want to say to us.
Oh man, is it ever good to be here. So thank you for allowing me to come. It's pretty risky to let someone that you don't know have a microphone and to preach. And so Leonard's in for a treat. you have no idea, but it's really good. And it's amazing, like there's a kindredness that is beautiful. And so it's just so grateful that there's a church somewhere in the world that's hungry to know Jesus. Ooh, I'm gonna be emotional today. It's good. I saw a picture earlier today, and the picture was an old street. We don't have brick streets like we drove through. I don't know what town we were in, in your neighborhood, actually. The whole street is just bricks everywhere, and I saw like a custodian or a caretaker with a broom just scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and making the bricks that were... it was grimy and dirty and messy, and I was watching this caretaker just broom and brush and clean away all the grime. And you're like, okay, cool, God, like, I don't know what this is, what you're doing, or why are you showing me, or is this something I'm just construing? But it felt like God was showing me something. And then we were singing, "What Can Wash Away Our Sin?" And I'm like, oh, sick, God, that's it. It's like, it's Jesus the caretaker, and he's scrubbing, and he's making it white. And I was like, feeling this is what God is saying for you today, and it was preparation for my heart to say he's scrubbing, he's working, he's scrubbing. And like, today I'm going to talk about wisdom. And it's like every little bit of wisdom you receive from God, every little bit, I was sensing during our worship time, he's scrubbing another little section. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's the one who's perfect. He's perfecting us. But he's like scrubbing away these little sections for us. And so today as we talk about wisdom, I'm probably going to come back to this image often. It's like, he's going to reveal himself. He's going to show you something. It's like him scrubbing away to make us like white. And all throughout scripture, we see this imagery or the symbolism of being made white or putting on a cloak or this garment of praise that gets put on. And so it is a delight to come and to share with you. And I hope that the word that the Lord has given today for you, that it's going to cause you to become increasingly like him, that it's going to be scraped away more, that you can praise all the more. It's not to worship God because like he's washed your sin away. We praise him and we worship him because he alone is worthy. But man, like when he removes some of that sin, or he removes some of these things, or he grants you wisdom from the kingdom of heaven, there's something really beautiful that happens, and we praise them all the more. So that's the picture, but I should probably start off. I'm from Canada. And we have a young church. We're by a university. I've been pastoring there for a few years, 8 in total now. Most common question I have is about the beard, and there's pressure because it's like wisdom comes with the beard, and the beard alone is what it seems like. No. The beard is an interesting thing, and there's not a lot of you with big beards, but I'm trying to make Mike just feel like he needs to grow it a little bit more. It's on there. It's starting. But just a little bit about myself. People ask, like, why do you have a beard? You should never grow a long beard unless you want to be remembered and known and recognized. So I walk in here and I get to know you, and now in other times that we see each other in the next few weeks, you'll see me and you'll recognize. You'll be like, oh, this is the guy from Canada with an accent. Although I don't really have an accent. Most of you do. So anyway, so the beard. Yeah, you're the only one who does. Yeah, right. So the beard is interesting because I walk into a restaurant, and when I walk in, it's like someone can walk in 100 times, but if I walk in once, the next time I walk in, I'm remembered, and it helps. I think it helps for me in building the kingdom. And in our community, we're right beside a high school, one that I went to school in, and my kids are there. And I go to the school, they know me just as the bearded pastor. And so that's the beard. Okay, so I have a wife. I've been married for pretty long. I don't look as old as I am, but 26 years I've been married. I have 4 children, 22, 20, 17, and 15. Do I look old enough for a 22-year-old? Yes. All right. So today we get to talk about wisdom. And wisdom is interesting. Wisdom is different than knowledge. This is not something that I was like, you know what, when I'm coming to a church and I don't know anyone that's here and it's brand new and you're like, hey, can you preach? You're like, man, God, like, what are you going to bring? Like, I don't really know the people. So what do you do when you don't know? What should you do? You go to him, right? You ask him because he's the one who knows. And by no means was I expecting to teach or to share on wisdom today. Biblical wisdom is interesting because wisdom itself is like taking knowledge. Maybe the simplistic form is taking knowledge and how do you apply it to live it into your life. But biblical wisdom is knowing what God wants you to do and doing what God wants you to do. Now, we sang about it, we prayed about it, we worship God together in it, which is really good. But it's not just like, it's not just reading our Bibles and just doing the things that the Bible says, because we would miss out on a lot of life, because the Bible doesn't say to gather here. Bible doesn't say, like, you got to make sure that every time you worship, you should kneel, or you should put your hands up, or you should go like this, or it doesn't tell you who you should witness to, or who you should share with, or who you need to love, or who to be generous with. But it gives you these values in Scripture that are so important for how we live our lives. So it's not just reading your Bibles, but reading, and we know that reading our Bibles is good, but it's like, God, what do we do with it? How do we live this out? It's not just praying, although is prayer good? Yeah, it's really good, but it's not just to pray. It's like we need to hear from him. We need to get insight and wisdom about the kingdom of heaven and how do we live that here. Wisdom is discerning the knowledge of God and then asking him, like, how do we apply this into our lives? I think about the verse in the Lord's Prayer, and it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Sorry. Yah. Yah. Yeah, we don't say yah. We say yep. Yeah, yeah. So you can help me by saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are like the body of Christ. We are the dwelling place, the temple where God himself lives. We are the saints. We are co-heirs with Christ. This is the language that are used in Scripture. And so we are ushering in the kingdom of heaven everywhere that we go. And we need wisdom. What do we need? Wisdom. We need wisdom from on high. This is taking the things that we know, and it's like, how do we apply it in? And every culture is a little different. Every people group is different. Every community that you go into is just a little bit different. The Word of God is really precious to me. The spoken and the written Word is really precious. But I fear that what happens often in a church or in church in general, I think it's across the board in cultures, is that we like conviction just a little bit more than we like transformation. It's like, man, how was that message today? Oh, man, it was so convicting. Oh, it just got me right here. And an hour later, it's like, so, like, tell me about the message. Like, oh, you know, I have no idea. We like to be challenged, but I think we like to be challenged more than we like to maybe live a godly life set apart for Christ. I think we like the idea of being transformed, but maybe we don't always like the process to be transformed. Right, it's the old adage, which is like, God, help me to be patient, but he gives you opportunity, and then we don't like it, right? We complain or we bicker to him. So we like knowing things about God, but we don't necessarily like knowing him. So when you're asking us, Leonard, to like, no, keep praise going, and some are like, oh, okay, we just want to land it, and you're like, get over the finish line. No, this is true, Because like we like the idea. It's like, okay, worship is like 23 and a half minutes. But it's like, no, but to know God, it's like it consumes and it's every part of our being and who we are. So wisdom is really important. But it's important that we put knowledge into practice. And this is not just true of Christians. It's true in the secular world. Everything that gets talked about like the climate, let's just say, is a touchy subject. But then you see someone speak about the climate and all the bad things, and then they live like totally different, like they're contradictory. That's not how it is. It's like, put it into practice, because if you believe it to be true, you will live it out. Otherwise, it's a nice theory or a good idea. We need the wisdom from God, because God didn't just make it where we're to be nice Christians and nice people. He has this master plan, right? He has a plan of what he's doing. And so we can think, we got this. We just got to love each other. We just got to be generous, or we just got to go to prayer meeting, or we just got to gather here. We just got to go to church. We just got to listen to Leonard, and it's going to be good. Like, we have these things. We'll just be good. But God has a much bigger plan than, what's this town called, this part? Sabapash. He has a much bigger plan than just here, right? It's like, it's far beyond. He loves the world. He loves it all. And I think he's deeply concerned with a lot of the church in the world right now, because we are the kingdom of heaven, the bricks that are supposed to be shining white are pretty grubby, pretty slimy. And so I get so excited when I come here. No, so what's the word? It's really good. Lacquer. I get so lacquer when I come, because I'm like, oh God, like you're doing something, and the people are allowing you to scrub away the stuff that's going on, because the church needs to be a city on a hill. The church needs to be able to shine bright. It's like, it's supposed to be that people meet you and see you together, and they want to know your Savior and glorify him. But man, is it sucky when the church comes here and pretends to be Christian and then leaves and is nothing like it. And this is why we need wisdom. I don't know how much time I'm allowed to have, so I'm just going to jump a little bit, but I can just go at it forever. James 1:5 tells us about wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? You should ask God. And will God give you the wisdom if you ask him? Yeah, he'll give it generously, right? He'll give it generously to all without finding fault. Generously to all. This is how we find wisdom. Now, wisdom is something that we can grow in. Scripture teaches about this, but it's like we can grow in it. If any of you lacks wisdom, there's one. Oh, you are so good. I didn't give them any scriptures because I thought it was just going to be too late. I know how the elders teach now. That's good. But if any of you lacks wisdom, God will give it to you. And there's not this discrepancy. Any of you can ask, and we'll get into the rest of it later. But God wants to give us wisdom. But he doesn't want to give you wisdom if you're not going to take the wisdom and do something with it. This is what wisdom is. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. And God doesn't say, if you need knowledge, just ask him. It's like, if you want wisdom, which is to know what to do with knowledge, or what do you do with this, or what do you do when you leave from here? What do you do when you're at the conference? When life is so busy, what do? You go to God for. But when you go to him for wisdom, you got to believe. You have to do something with it. And if he shows you something, you have to do it. And if you don't do it, you should never expect to receive anything from him. That's like the worst and the best. Right? Because he's not looking to just make you nice people. He's not looking to just have a group that gets together and he's like, oh, look, they're coming to worship me. No. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants none, and he wants his bride to shine again like the stars. So it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So we put it into practice. Okay, so maybe the simplest reason, just real practically, that we put something into practice is to determine and find out if it's actually true. Right? If you don't put it into practice, you don't really know if it's true. It doesn't matter what it is, but if you don't put it into practice, you have no idea if it's true. So there's a variety of things that we can do, but let's talk about parenting, because I don't think a lot of you are parents right now. So parenting is easy, right? Simple. It's like one of the easiest things. So I presume most of you don't know because you haven't had the chance to put it into practice to find out if it's easy. You see on Instagram or whatever, you see all these families in the congregation just doing these wonderful things together. Oh, look at that. It's so beautiful. Like, such a happy family. Having kids would be so awesome. They get to do things that we don't get to do because they have children, and they go to playgrounds and go to amusement parks, and it's so wonderful. And it's really easy until you have children. And you forget that there's you don't know that there's sleepless nights and there's sick children and there's days on end and there's days you want to just call it quits and throw it in. Days that you're exhausted, days that there's lack of hope. All your ideals are gone. But you would rarely find a parent who would say, I would want to give it up, because it's one of the most amazing gifts and opportunities. It changes you. You become like Christ. But you don't know until you're in it. I worked with teens my whole life, and I thought, I'm going to love the teenage years until you have teens. And then you find out, oh, just because I worked with teens my whole life doesn't mean my teens want their dad. They also want others to speak into their lives. And I'm like, oh, okay, God. How do we then have wisdom? So let's think about a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Pretend you're opening your Bibles right now and someone's getting it up. But it says this in verse 16, rejoice always, pray continuously or continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so this is God's will for you. But look what you're supposed to do. It's almost out. Look what you're supposed to do. Rejoice how often? Always. What? How in the world do you rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks at all circumstances? How? How is that even possible? Most of the church, what they do is they just read over it and cool, yeah. That must be exaggerating. It must be something like that. So we'll just kind of leave it. It's nice, we'll try, but you can't really, and you just leave it. But when we come to Scripture and we're like, God, what do we do with this? What do you do if you don't understand? The scriptures don't, they don't submit to you. We submit to the scripture, right? So when you don't understand it, what should we do? We go to God. We need his wisdom. So how do we do this? We're like, God, we need help. This is a hard word. How in the world can I pray continually? It's impossible. And we wait and we listen. We ask him. We're like, God, I need your counsel. I need to understand. And he begins to do this teaching. It's like becoming a disciple of Jesus. But we need his wisdom. We're like, God, I don't know if we can do it. But when he begins to speak, he begins to teach us how we can live this way. So one form of wisdom is to hear from God. But there's another form that Proverbs speaks of. Proverbs says that we can have wisdom when we are together with people who are wise. So gathering around, having people that are wise in your life is another way in which we can have wisdom. So we have wisdom because we receive it here. We have wisdom as we're reading the word, but we need God to be the translator. And then we need wisdom among the people so we can hear and we can go, okay, well, what do you do and how does this work? And together we seek God to get wisdom. This is how the scriptures teach for us to do this. And so why are these verses in here? Why does the Bible say, be with people, seek God, read the word? Why do we have all these things? Why doesn't God just say, you want wisdom? I'll just give you everything you need. One, we'd probably be overwhelmed, right? It's like, God, we could never, but he wants us to come to him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to wait upon him. He wants us to gather like this. He wants us to meet in the homes every day because he wants us to grow and be interdependent upon one another and him, to be fully unified. It would be a terrible decision, in my opinion, for God to say, I'm going to give one person all the wisdom in the world. No, because then we don't need each other, and he wants us to need it. I got married when I was young. My wife and I had a disagreement, and so obviously, because we're your age, come on, you guys are tired, yeah, okay. We were young, and we had a disagreement. So I was very spiritual, and she was less spiritual. So, hang on, you'll understand. And I was like, oh, we got all this extra money. Not really, but I was like, babe, any extra money at the end of the day, we have to just give it away. That's the kingdom of God, okay? Could be, right? It could be. My wife's like, are you kidding? If we're wise, the Bible teaches that we need to save. We need to prepare for the future. We need to look at the future. I'm like, babe, that is not godly. Like, this is not okay. We need to give it all away. What do you do? Because you can use scripture to justify both. So what do you do? You have to come here. But do you know what? We got no answers. We're like, because my emotions were locked in to give it away. Hers were locked in to we got to save because she's concerned about the future. Good on her. And so we're like, we got nothing from God. One day, walking to work, I had a good long walk, and I'm just meditating and praying and thinking about the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your... That was Afrikaans, I think. But the second commandment, the second is like it. Love your as... And I'm walking to work. I'm not thinking about money. I'm not thinking about... And we didn't have much, but I wasn't thinking about it. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit just jumped right in there. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm like, oh, God, I got it. I got it. If we're saving money for ourselves, we need to save money for our neighbors. If we're concerned that our car might break down, we got to save money for our neighbor's car that might break down. I called my wife. I got to work. Babe, I got the answer. I think I know what God wants us to do. We need to save the same amount for us as we also save for our neighbors. She was like, what? That's fantastic. And on that day, we give money to the church, we give to the poor, we give to people on missions, but we put 5% of our income into a savings for us and 5% that we call our kingdom assignment fund. And all we could do is give it away. That's it. Man, do you know what that did for us? Like, it was like the Spirit gave us wisdom from on high, and to this day, 25 years later, we still have a kingdom assignment fund, and we would invite our children into it. Like, we have this money, we have to give it away. One of our kids, early in their school years, like, there's this girl in my class. She has really, like, ratty shoes. Like, they have holes everywhere. Like, could we get her shoes? Now we're discipling our children how to be disciples, but be disciples of Jesus. But it came because we were being disciples of Jesus. We were coming to him and saying, God, help us, help us. And I think often what we do is we want to disciple people before we're even a disciple. Right? It's like we like the idea of God and what he does, but like to truly come to him and have him be the one that's going to teach us and lead us and remind us and rebuke us and correct us. And then it's really easy because the Great Commission is go make disciples. But man, if you don't live it, if you don't have wisdom, if you don't take the word of God and apply it in your life, if you don't have that, then you're not actually making disciples. Right? Then you're making people who know nice things about the word. This is the problem in Canada. We have a lot of people that read the Bible, but there's not a lot of people that live out the Bible. We have a lot of people that go and they study theology and doctrine. In fact, you can't be a pastor basically in Canada unless you have a master's degree in theology. But you know what you don't have to have? Any fruitfulness in your life. So can you imagine a church where there's like no fruit? Like you have pastors who have never led someone to Jesus, pastors who have never walked with someone to maturity in Christ, pastors who have never helped anyone get delivered. In fact, a common adage in our country is like, I wasn't good at anything else, so I became a pastor. Can you imagine that? Now, there's a hunger in our country. There's a hunger, and we're watching it right now. We're watching it beginning to move. But actually, we don't need more just educated people. I was going to go get a master's because I thought this is what the Lord would want for me. He's like, nope, I don't want you to get a master's. I want it to be just a person, just an ordinary man. And I want to show you how to bear fruit and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Now, I love education, and we have lots of people in our church going through education. It's beautiful. But for me, the wisdom that God has is, no, Donovan, I don't want you to. I don't want you to. I want you to be an ordinary person that loves the word of God and allows me to teach you. So, man, I'm running pretty far here. So I'll just go to the end of what I want to say. my wife and I, we decided in our married life that what we wanted to do is we wanted to practice or have wisdom on how to live out the Word of God. And so there's all these verses in Scripture that we just hadn't seen modeled all that well, and we didn't know if they would be true or not. So we thought, let's try, and let's just see if they're true. Let's assume the Bible is right, and let's live it out. And we learned some things. So like a verse like to be hospitable or to have your home open to people. We're like, well, cool, yeah, like we didn't know who to have our home open to. We didn't know what that was going to look like. There's a verse that even says, like, have people in your home and you might entertain. You're like, sick. Like, who wants that? Like, I would, right? So we're like, okay, we're going to start doing it. But we didn't know who to have in our home. So we just prayed and said, God, who? And it wasn't very long. I got a phone call late at night from a mom of one of our youth kids and said, listen, I'm kicking our daughter out of the house. She's not permitted to stay here anymore. I told her I'd make one phone call, so I'm calling you just to tell you that she's out of the house now. You don't have to do anything. I'm just telling you. I look at my wife. I'm like, babe? She's like, yeah, go get her. So we drove way out, picked her up, brought her home, moved her into our house. That was the first person we had live with us. And in the course of the next while, like, we're working with parents and we're working with her, and she had to work hard in our home because, like, you don't live here for free. Right? What's the problem? You don't work, you don't eat. Yeah, you're gonna work. So she would just work, and she loved it as long as she didn't have to be home. But we had this joy of helping her to come to reconciliation, to work with her family. Okay. Oh man, I have to run on this. Entertaining strangers. So we did this. We moved to a new place, and we said, you know what? We're gonna bring some people with us. We thought, we want to make disciples. What's the best way to disciple? Move them into your house. That's a terrible idea. It's terrible because if you've had a roommate, right, that you're like good buddies with, and then you become roommates, you're like, oh man, you got some really bad behavior, right? Like really bad. And as soon as you move people in, it's like that. But we said, no, we're going to move them in. And over the course of 11 years, we became known as a home that if you knew anyone that needed a place to stay, if you were orphan, we had a guy who had to like take his wheelchair. He had Parkinson's. He was homeless. And he would wheel kilometers down the highway to get to our house. We're like, come and stay with us. We got known as a home just for people to come stay, and it's like, oh my goodness, it was overwhelming. We had about 70 people or more live with us over 11 years. Now, I'm not saying that's not pat on the back. It's hard laboring, but you know what was so good coming out of it? God was teaching us things. Many of the people who lived with us were so grateful that they would go and buy homes, and they would open up their home. We had like Olympic athletes, an Olympic athlete who was biking across Canada. He didn't tell us he was an Olympic athlete. We honestly thought he was an angel. And we said, you can come stay with us because he hit a blizzard in Manitoba in like September, which is like sort of summer for us. And he came and lived with us and he met Jesus in our home. Do you know who led him to Jesus? All of my rough, broken, orphaned boys living in our basement that are 18, 19, 20. And they're like, you got to know about Jesus. And they were telling about Jesus. And we didn't learn until he was long gone that he was an Olympic triathlete. And you're like, God, how does this work? But it led us to building a couple of big additions. We had 16 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms in our home and a couple kitchens and living rooms. But not because we wanted to. Because we went to him and he said, this is what I want you to do. And now there's all sorts of homes in Manitoba that are just open to people coming. Someone has to say, God, I want to live out your word. Don't do it Donovan's way. Don't do it the elder's way. Like, you get counsel, but like, come to him. It's like, God, what are you asking of me for me to love the bride, for me to love the world the way that you do and live that out? And if we don't live it out, like, then there's a problem. So that I got, oh man, so I'm going to end with this. So you can look and you say, it's too overwhelming. Pastor, it's too overwhelming. Like, I can't do all of these things. I can't live out everything. But what do? When you don't know what to do, you go to him and you ask him, right? It's like, God, how do I do this and this and this? It's so cool when I hear this, but God, what do you have? We need divine intervention. This is the brilliance of Jesus' death and resurrection, that the Holy Spirit would come to live and dwell in each of us. And so we have this great joy of loving him, of honoring him, of adoring him, loving each other. And what that does is, the caretaker is coming, and he's scraping it away, and he's moving all the junk, and he's making you white, and he's making you pure, and he's making it holy. And people are coming and say, what is it? Why is it shining so bright? And they're drawn in, and the more that we do this, the more the city, the kingdom of heaven expands and grows. two ways to grow in wisdom. Ask him and just go for it. Like, just begin. You can ask God and you can go for it. Second way is, like, you're not that wise. Ask someone and say, I want to grow in wisdom. And then together, get on your knees and begin to seek him. How do you disciple someone? Become a disciple. Then you can disciple others because you know what it means to follow Jesus and seek his wisdom. If you're not sure if you're a disciple or how to be a disciple of Jesus, grab someone and say, I want to know how to be a disciple. Do you want to go on this pathway with me? And together walk on the road in which to go there. Church, if I can just leave you with that. Seek him. You need help, what should you do? Ask him. Seek wisdom. Right? Not just pray. Ask him. Get his counsel. If you want to know what's the next step, what do? You ask him. You ask him. We come before him and we wait upon him. This is how we roll. So just bow your heads with me. God, it's so good. God, I think about these students. I think about the pressures that are on them. It's not just students. I know that. I think about the pressures, God, of living for you, but having a life that is full and a life that is busy. God, how do we build the kingdom? God, how do we disciple? How do we discern the steps for us, God? How do we know who to help, who to love, when to study, how long, when to sleep? God, how do we know? And you just say, we just have to come ask you. And it's not if we're perfect or if we're qualified, we ask. All of us, God, there's no partiality that you show. Any of us can come and ask as long as what we're going to do is take and believe it. God, help us to be a people that lives it out. God, help us to be a people that hears and does. Jesus, I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, would you speak? God, is there wisdom? Is there something that you've been speaking to the individuals here that you've been drawing them to and they just haven't been quiet enough to hear from you? God, is there a piece of wisdom that you've been wanting to impart to them, God? Is there a question that you want them to bring before you, God? Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to your kids? Maybe the Spirit is like, now it's time. Now it's time. Give your whole heart. Maybe there's an area you've been avoiding. You just ignore it. Because you're afraid of what God might say. It's like the word at the beginning. Viewing God as like a tyrant instead of, actually, he knows the best. His wisdom is the best. He created everything. He created you. He knows what he built you for. Ask him. Take the risk and ask him. Holy Spirit, maybe there's an area in our life, a place that you want to brush clean. You want to brush it up and you want to make it pure. God, and now is the time. Jesus, would you remind us by your Spirit of that? God, help us to listen. Sheep hear you. We want to follow you, God. I just hear him saying, just over and over, just one by one, people come into faith. One by one, by one, by one, by one. And that leads then to like two by two, and that leads to family, family, family. Just think about you, and I think that God is just wanting to draw us to live wholehearted for him, that you would shine. And as a result, one by one, people are going to come to know him. And so, God, I bless this group. God, I pray your presence be upon them in rich measure. God, not just worship here, not just pray continually while we're at church or gathered here, God. Just would we learn how to rejoice and how to pray and how to worship you? Would our lives be like a drink offering poured out, God? You are worthy of all praise. In your name, amen.
That was really so good. I feel so challenged, and I don't know about you, but I feel like I want to go home, and I just want to ask the Lord, give me wisdom, give me insight. Can I ask us, just as we end, the scripture that Donovan read earlier was that when we want wisdom, and I think after this, I'm like, yes, Lord, I want wisdom. I want some of the good stuff that he spoke about. I want to live like that. I'm inspired by it. But the Bible says then we should ask. So I'd love us to end that way, actually, to say, Lord, as a body of believers together, we want to come before you now and we want to ask you for wisdom. And as we ask that, you'll have specific things that you need God's wisdom in. But I think we ask for wisdom generally. And if there's specifics, then you ask, Lord, give me wisdom. So let's stand. Let's stand together. I think this is a good way to end. Just to ask the Lord for wisdom. I'm going to read that again. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and I know we feel like that, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So in a moment, I'm going to pray, but I'd love to just read one more scripture to you. And it's in Proverbs 9, verse 10. And let me just say this quickly. Donovan explained earlier, he explained that wisdom is knowledge applied in God's way. Basically, that's godly wisdom. So here's the knowledge of Jesus. Said it earlier, it's been a refrain throughout this service. The knowledge that we have is that Jesus died on a cross for us. He took our sin upon his shoulders, because we need a Savior. And he said, you can't do it, I'll do it for you. That's knowledge. Then the Bible says to us that wisdom, and the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs 9 verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the first thing that we should do is we should take the knowledge of Jesus and say, if I really want to have wisdom, if I want to have anything of what Donovan spoke about, there might be some of you that don't know Jesus. Then wisdom for you, the first part of wisdom for you, would not be asking God, which person should I marry or what course should I study? It's, Lord, help me to know you. That's wisdom. So let's close our eyes.